evening and welcome. It's KBC Arts, arts and entertainment in our region as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Tonight we'll hear from Krista Stevens, one of the co-founders of Redlands Opera Theatre. We'll be speaking about Redlands Opera Theatre transitioning to Inland Opera with their inaugural gala concert kicking off the season November 11th. That's at the Mission Gables Bowl House in Redlands. We're going to start the program tonight in conversation with Linda Dilday on the board with the Riverside Dickens Festival. One of the special events associated with the festival coming soon is Gerald Dickens with a one-man performance of a couple of the works of his great-great-grandfather Charles Dickens. First, though, since we are approaching the 25th anniversary, a bit more about the Riverside Dickens Festival.
This is our 25th annual, that is correct. You know, we started very simply. We are volunteer-run, operated-driven, however. I mean, it takes a large number of creative, talented, hardworking people to put this festival on every year. So we actually do fundraisers year-round to make the festival happen. It began as Carolyn Grant and Joan Patton, who were members of the Friends of the Library, they sort of thought up this idea and thought it would be a great way to promote a literary festival, and did it downtown and chose to do it the first year in 1993 in September. And weather is warm in September, so we moved it to February because it's closer to Charles Dickens' birthday. But now weather is a problem for us in February because we often have rain. We all laughingly say that would be pretty appropriate for Dickens' time.
You beat me to it.
He would have experienced inclemental weather in his day-to-day life.
Yes. Now, you mentioned you've been on the board for about 6 years. Were you by chance a part of it before that as
a
reenactor or anything?
When I was worked at Barnes & Noble in Riverside, which opened in 2001. Okay. I was the community relations manager, and a couple years into my job, I went downtown to see what the Dickens Festival was all about. And so I'm guessing that was about 2003, 2004. And realized that they didn't have a bookshop at the festival. And so as a company, we were able to donate a large number of books to get them started. And I've been running that little bookshop ever since. You know, that's sort of in my blood, working in a bookstore. Ordering inventory, and went as a volunteer the first year with the then-president, Sue Cullen, and just listened to what people were asking for and just had so much fun creating a backlist or an inventory that we could offer to the people who came every year, and it just has grown. So I would say I have done the bookshop for probably maybe 12 years.
Oh, gosh, okay.
And because then I retired from management in 2012, they asked me to be on the board. I don't know that I could have worked as hard as I work now with a full-time job. And many of our board members are still working. So it's challenging to try and make this happen in and around our individual lives.
Well, this is a big, big thing. And so we already mentioned 1993, I believe, this being the 25th annual. That pretty much eliminates the when did this start question, but we already addressed that. So let's talk then about the early days of the festival, at least as you understand it. Let's start with why. You alluded to somebody wanting a literary festival. Let's hear about more about that, the beginnings and the real mission behind why we wanted something like this going on in Riverside.
The way I understand it is because Charles Dickens was the most influential and famous writer, and he made a difference in changing society, making it a better world in which to live. The festival then began over the years to highlight that aspect of his life, his dedicated work. And we, with our volunteers and, you know, generous supporters, financial supporters, have been able to continue that thinking. And we try, for example, one of the things that as the festival has grown, some of our more notable characters, Mr. Dickens, Mr. Poe, actually go to schools in the Riverside area and talk to the students, especially if it's required reading at the middle school and high school levels. And when we talk about Gerald Dickens, one of the things we're doing with Gerald Dickens is he's actually being sponsored by Altura Credit Union to put on a performance for the students at Poly High School. And so we've tried to partner with our community to make this happen. And so it's a family event. We've always had activities that encouraged parents to bring small children. We have a component that's called Oliver's Alley, and children are able to play games that would have been period appropriate. We have a fabulous fashion show that a lot of people enjoy attending because many, many, many of the people who come to our festival actually sew and make their own gowns. Many others can go to thrift shops and put outfits together using things that they find. But the fashion show highlights that. Another big part of the festival, even in the early years, was Mr. Fezziwig's Ball, which is held at the Riverside Municipal Auditorium. That is just amazing. I mean, we still do dance lessons so that people can learn how to dance a quadrille or the Spanish waltz. There is an observatory in the Municipal Auditorium, and so for $10, someone can go up and watch the ball from upstairs. And I say, I liken it to a human kaleidoscope. Because all of the women and men are dancing, the gowns are swaying, you know, and then they twirl, and it is just an amazing visual.
That's Linda Dilday with the Riverside Dickens Festival approaching its 25th year, and Gerald Dickens performing in Riverside November 13th and 14th. Information and tickets at dickensfest.com. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming.
People connect with the festival on so many levels. And since I've been on the board, Richard Reed, who is an amazing creative partner of ours and has been involved in the festival for years as a past board member, and he, when we moved from the downtown Riverside on 7th Street to the pedestrian mall, which just made life a little simpler for our festival goers, we were able to include the courthouse. So Richard wrote his first play for our festival, and I believe it previewed, I want to say this will be the fourth year, The Trial of Jack the Ripper.
Oh, cool.
And it was held in the courthouse, and it was just, I mean, he created a play with all of the known suspects and had them at the courthouse being interviewed by the prosecutor, and a jury of 15 people that would be attending the play became the jury, and so they decided who the culprit was, and each play was different, you know, in terms of who they determined was the person that was the Jack the Ripper.
Oh, how nice.
As a bookshop person, I had to make sure I had books on Jack the Ripper, so it's just always different. It has evolved, and we try and promote the fact that even if you have been 2 years ago, coming to the festival this time will be unique and different. We add something new every year, and you can't possibly see and do all of the things related to the festival. You just can't do it.
I would imagine not. Let's talk about that growth, comparing the first year or the first couple of years of the festival to maybe the most recent couple of years. What kind of numbers are we talking here? I know you can't give
specifics. You know, it's hard for me to give you that kind of information because there are so many things that don't cost anything. So in terms of selling tickets, I can project what I think attendance is like. I know there are days when I'm running the bookshop at the festival in the past couple of years, I look up and it's just a sea of people in costume. When I first came to the festival, when I first started being involved, I would say that wasn't the case. There were lots of people there, but they weren't necessarily dressed up. That has changed over the years. Steampunk is a huge new phenomenon that has really taken hold.
I noticed
in the
that
last
festival
four
a couple of years,
years
ago.
And so if young people don't feel like Victorian attire, they can come in these outrageous outfits that most often they have created themselves. Many of them are mechanicals, because steampunk is based on the concept of the steam engine and sort of futuristic thinking from Victorian times that would be based on things that Jules Verne and H.G. Wells would have written.
Yes.
And it is just amazing. I think of all the things that I most enjoy about the festival is the fact that there is so much creativity and uniqueness in every single thing that you're seeing. I mean, the attendees will come, and, you know, you're interacting with people, and it's okay to go up to somebody and go, oh my gosh, you know, how did you create that?
Nice.
It's refreshing. You know, it's a fun place to bring friends and family and enjoy both days, if you can come both days,
yeah,
but at
nice.
Least a full day. And we've gotten some wonderful merchants. We have a gal, her name is Michelle, and she is very much involved with Renfair. And so she has brought an awful lot of vendors to our festivals that offer authentic food. You really have a sense of being in London, and now that it's on the pedestrian mall, you really don't see vehicles, you know, so
right. We
kind of have created a little world, pocket of history that you sort of forget modern day times, with the exception of seeing people on cell phones. That's kind of hilarious. That's
that's got to really be out of place.
Yeah, that's a visual incongruity. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
What kind of food are we talking about for Victorian England?
Well, they would have fish and chips. They would have shortbread. We have a tavern now at the festival, so it serves as a pub. Finger foods, for the most part. I know that because I'm working it, I don't always get to enjoy all of the things that are going on.
Certainly.
But I invite any of your listeners to go to our website and peruse all of the things from now until when the festival happens in February, because we really, really do our darndest to post unique and interesting facts about it.
And we'll mention this again later, but that's simply DickensFest.com?
DickensFest. www.dickensfest.com.
DickensFest.com, and we will mention that again a little bit later.
Okay.
Speaking of which, I went there and I saw a map of the area. This was last year's map, but I noticed a couple of other names that really caught my eye, and we saw H.G. Wells and Jules Verne in there. There's, I guess, their own little store or section. So you've got a lot of characters.
You know, we rent tents, and we have, like, Hyde Park, which is a corner where a lot of authors can gather. We've really increased the number of people who perform as Dickens compatriots or authors that he would have known during that time period.
Okay.
Or known of, maybe not known personally. And that gets better and better. We just had a recent fundraiser with Mr. Poe. It was called Tales from the Victorian Crypt, and we did it at the
nice.
Evergreen Memorial Historic Cemetery downtown, and Poe performed The Raven and a number of his more famous poems, and it made your skin tingle because he was so authentic, and it was a dark, and, you know, oftentimes this year we didn't have it, but oftentimes we have dry ice, and so it looks foggy, and
you were in a graveyard.
Yeah, we were in a graveyard in front of a crypt, and it was wonderful. So the map sometimes, I mean, we try and post the map so that people have some sense of where things are happening. It goes from University clear to 10th Street. So
oh, wow.
You've got two full blocks of things that are going on. And because, like I said, you know, we're performing some things in the courthouse, you can't always see what's going on. And so some events are ticketed and many are not. But it's nice when people come, especially now with all these mobile devices and people have apps and they can pull it up and go, oh, that's what I want to do next, and then know which direction to head.
Ah, and there's finally a good reason for people with their face buried in their phone as they're wandering around Riverside. Finally. Okay, good, good. Okay.
Provided they're looking at something like that. Absolutely.
Provided,
and there's
yes.
no threat of traffic.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, the whole pedestrian mall will pretty much be
yeah.
taken over by reenactors and whatnot.
So I worry about people with their faces buried in their devices and they're crossing the street.
Generally speaking,
you know,
yeah.
Especially if someone driving is also looking
on their cell phone. Yeah. That was Linda Dilday with the Riverside Dickens Festival approaching its 25th year, and Gerald Dickens performing in Riverside November 13th and 14th. Information and tickets at dickensfest.com. Later, we'll be speaking with Krista Stevens, one of the co-founders of Redlands Opera Theater, making its transition to Inland Opera. We'll have more on the Riverside Dickens Festival just ahead. You're listening to KBC Arts on 91.9 KBCR. I'm David Fleming. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. We are streaming live at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Later in the program, we'll be speaking with Krista Stevens with Inland Opera, formerly Redlands Opera Theater. Their inaugural gala concert kicking off the season is coming up November 11th at the Mission Gables Bowl House in Redlands. First, though, more with Linda Dilday and the Riverside Dickens Festival. The 25th Riverside Dickens Festival won't be until February, but in association with the festival, Charles Dickens' great-great-grandson, Gerald Dickens, will be performing in Riverside November 13th and 14th. We'll touch on an event coming up really soon in just a few moments, but one more thing about the Riverside Dickens Festival. Again, the one coming up is the 25th annual, the Silver Jubilee.
Yes.
And now the featured book for the 2018 Riverside Dickens Festival I read is Great Expectations.
Yes.
So talk to us about how a book feature manifests itself through the festival, or leading up to the festival, maybe.
And we work on that continuously. Susan Perkhart, who is our education committee chair, does a book discussion. So in January, she will have a book discussion, and people will read and discuss Great Expectations. We had hoped to create a play this year, Richard, and I just discovered this morning that that may or may not happen, that we could take a part of the book and dramatize it. But we often, every year, have high school performers who come to the festival and perform an aspect of our featured book.
Okay.
It may have been script that they are given. It may be script that they have created. We have writing contests based on the theme of the book. Some books are easier to work with than others. I certainly try and have whatever the themed book is in stock at the bookshop.
Certainly.
And authors that, well, obviously in this case it's almost always Gerald Dickens, but they will often debate or lecture or talk about different, I mean, we have lectures throughout the festival every year as well. So we try and incorporate the theme that way. It was fun to use Great Expectations for this year because we have great expectations for our Silver Jubilee and our 25 years of wit and wisdom.
We're speaking with Linda Dilday, a board member and part of the Publicity Promotion Committee with the Riverside Dickens Festival. So we've been speaking of the Riverside Dickens Festival, but now let's talk about Mr. Dickens himself, in a manner of speaking. Talk to us about Gerald Dickens, here for the 9th time, and this is coming up soon.
Yes. The 9th time he will come to Riverside, and this year he will be performing at the Riverside Christian Church. It's on the corner of Harupa and Rockton.
Let's point out, by the way, that this is Gerald Dickens, the great-great-grandson.
Grandson of Charles Dickens.
Yes.
He had performed in years past at the Convention Center and then one year at the Community Players downtown Riverside. And he is a one-man performer. He acts out all the characters in the Christmas Carol. He, for a full hour, is all the voices, all the personas, and he tells the story of the Christmas Carol from front to finish. And if you've never seen it performed that way, it is incredible. This year, he's going to be also performing Dr. Marigold. And if you buy both performances, you get a little bit of a break in the price of the ticket. And so, I mean, I've seen him do different things in the last couple of years that I've been more involved with the festival and part of the board. And I have never been disappointed. He is just such an entertainer, and he often tells the story that, you know, he didn't set off doing this as a career, and he just sort of got sucked into it because it's part of his heritage, and he finds that he's good at it, and he has really enjoyed it. So he comes on tour to the U.S. every year, and we're lucky enough to have him here in Southern California in Riverside in November.
Now, well, truly, what the dickens.
Yeah.
Well, how did Riverside end up getting the great-great-grandson of Charles Dickens? He's touring this anyway?
I wouldn't be able to answer that, actually. I am guessing that the board, you know, however many years ago that would have been, because he doesn't come every year.
Okay.
We try not to do it back-to-back because I think, again, people get in the habit of thinking, oh, I've done that, I've seen that, no need to do this again.
You sure.
know, so it makes it more enticing if we wait 2 or 3 years in between. So I'm sure the board at the time, Carolyn Grant was very much involved, and she's one of the founders of the Riverside Dickens Festival. He is with Buyer's Choice, and so they would have contacted Buyer's Choice and found out where he was going to be and made arrangements to come here.
Okay.
And he is just very gracious and delightful. He loves being a part of something that helps promote our festival, because it's certainly a great way for us to fundraise for the costs of putting the festival on.
Absolutely. And so you said that, Gerald, this is his ninth time here. This would have been spread out over more than 9 years.
Right.
Well, what I'd like to know is, does Gerald Dickens rotate the shows that he brings through, or is it something different each time, or perhaps a Christmas Carol every time and then something else fresh?
Well, we do the Christmas Carol because it's a classic. It doesn't grow old. I mean, it just is something you do at Christmas time, much like people who go to the Nutcracker. You know, the Christmas classics are classics, and you do it every year no matter what. We do that because it's something people love and appreciate, but we try and choose things, and he has quite a repertoire, so we try and choose things from what he offers to make it a little bit different each time he comes.
Nice.
So last time he came, I know he was at the golf course out in Harupa and did a story based on golfing. We love his ability to adapt to, you know, whatever it is we want to have him perform for our audience.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So again, this year, the performances for the public and for local high school students, that's on November 13th and 14th. We have a Christmas Carol Monday the 13th at First Christian Church. Then on Tuesday evening, that's the 14th, he'll be performing Dr. Marigold's Prescriptions, also at First Christian Church.
Right. I'll be bringing books from the bookshop inventory, and there will be an opportunity to get something signed and autographed if people are interested. There will be wonderful refreshments served, and the church offers an elegant setting, and they've been wonderful to work with, and so it makes it a little more intimate than a huge, huge theater, and we are just so looking forward to having him again.
I'm sure. On the press release, I saw opportunities for additional scholarships. Tell us about this aspect of the Dickens Festival.
We offer scholarships to students. We have scholarship funds set up. Many of our past board members were educators, and we have a strong commitment to promoting educational opportunities for students. And again, you can probably find more information for that on the website. We have tried to expand, and to be perfectly honest, it depends on our funding. You know, our first and primary commitment is to making sure that the festival can be put on, but the years that we find we have extra monies or we have sponsorships from a lot of our wonderful community partners, then we can offer opportunities to students that help promote literature and educational opportunity.
Beautiful. So, again, the Riverside Dickens Festival won't be going until February 24th and 25th, but how about a recap of the where's and when's of this upcoming event and how to get more information and tickets?
Okay. The big event coming up for us that's a fundraiser is our Gerald Dickens events, the great-great-grandson of Charles Dickens, will be held at First Christian Church in Riverside November 13th and 14th. Tickets are available through our website, and our website is www.dickensfest.com. You can purchase tickets there. There's reduced pricing if you purchase for both performances. And there are student discounts with ID, and I believe there is a special rate for children under 12.
Wonderful. Well, that's coming up very soon, November 13th and 14th, a Monday and Tuesday evening. And again, we've been speaking with Linda Dilday. Again, thank you for your time. I appreciate this.
Well, thank you for helping us promote and get the word out about a wonderful, wonderful family event.
Absolutely. Glad to. That was Linda Dilday with the Riverside Dickens Festival approaching its 25th year. And again, Gerald Dickens performing in Riverside November 13th and 14th. Information and tickets at dickensfest.com. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming. Let's go now to Krista Stevens, one of the co-founders of Redlands Opera Theater. After 5 years, they're making their transition to Inland Opera. And to take us into the segment, we have Golda Berkman, who was featured with the opera last year, singing O Mio Bambino Caro, one of the selections we'll hear during the upcoming gala concert, November 11th, which kicks off Inland Opera season.
Thank you.
We'll be talking about the inaugural gala concert coming up soon, November 11th, at the Mission Gables Bowl House in Redlands. But first, though, we have some changes to the organization. But before we go into everything, there are people that will tend to look up everything without waiting to hear the story themselves. So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way for them, all the contact information.
So my role is actually not only principal soprano with Inland Opera, but I'm the artistic director, and I'm currently in tandem with our communication strategist, the social media. So we're in the midst of transitioning the Redlands Opera Theater website into an Inland Opera website. In the meantime, we have an active Facebook page. And the Facebook page has all the contact information people need. And if they were to go to inlandopera.org, it would direct them back to the Facebook page. But for the inaugural gala, for instance, we have an event created on Facebook. If they just click on that event, there's a link to Brown Paper Tickets where they can purchase tickets online. And of course, tickets are available at the door as well. But our email address and our phone number and our PO box, all of that information is on the Facebook page. And then we are also on Twitter.
For Twitter and for Facebook, what do people need to look up?
They just need to look up Inland Opera.
Okay, simple as that.
Yep.
All right. Well, then, at 5 years old now, refresh us on the how and the why Inland Opera came to be, originally founded as Redlands Opera Theater.
Yeah, so after 5 years as Redlands Opera Theater, we realized that there were some things that, you know, were going very well, but that we needed some expansion. There was going to be a shift amongst the leadership. And we were bringing new people on board, and we really wanted to expand to serve the greater Inland Empire, because throughout San Bernardino County and the Inland Empire, there's still very little operatic activity. There's some activity out in the desert. I know Riverside has a very fine opera company, and there's some other organizations, but the opera is pretty scarce in this area. And, you know, we wanted to develop partnerships out in Temecula and the desert, all the way out to Claremont and even beyond that. And so we did a lot of research about, you know, just what communities even encompass the Inland Empire versus San Bernardino or Riverside County specifically. When we were creating a new business plan, we did a lot of research about demographics and about the area in general and what organizations already exist and where the deficiencies are. And we realized that if we shifted from being a local professional company to an expansive regional opera company, that we could still continue to do a program or two a season in Redlands, but that we could also go and develop partnerships and do productions and such outside of Redlands to serve the greater Inland Empire. And we've had a lot of support. People have been very interested in this. We've gathered a new leadership team that's very excited to see how this is going to develop. So it's all very exciting. A lot of work, but very exciting.
So the real difference then is that you're looking at expanding beyond Redlands.
Absolutely. I mean,
that's the real big difference there. Okay. Well, still again, before we get to the gala concert coming up soon, some of the plans for this expansion include forging partnerships with established classical music organizations.
Correct.
Within some of these communities, growing Inland Opera's educational programs and reaching a wider regional audience.
Yes.
So talk about some of this growth. We talked about some of the wider regional audience. Do you have anything in mind yet for expanding on the educational programs that you guys are involved in?
Yes, one thing that we've been very fortunate for the past couple seasons in Redlands, we had an ongoing sponsorship from the Noon Kiwanis, and it allowed us to do some educational programs for children within various schools within the Redlands Unified School District. And we are passionate about educating children and the youth about opera and classical music, and we want to be able to provide that service to children within Redlands but also outside of Redlands. And so we will be looking for further sponsorships from organizations in other communities so that we can bring operatic programs to children and make them exciting for children. There's a lot of opera that is accessible to children. It's out there. You know, we have to have the funding and we have to have the means and the time and space with which to do so. But that's absolutely one of our objectives, is to continue educating young people about opera and classical music in general.
Listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. We're speaking with Krista Stevens with Inland Opera formerly Redlands Opera Theater. I have to say this is a better acronym, IO instead of ROT.
Yeah. We kind of thought, you know, we kind of got some flack about ROT from the beginning, but we thought, you know what, if we're going to own it, we're going to really own it. Yes, I agree. Inland Opera and IO is definitely a step in the right direction.
IO has some cool myths behind it and Galilean moons and all this cool stuff that just... But just rot. I mean, you know.
Maybe the planets will align themselves in our favor or something.
Yes, you know? There we go. That's a good positive outlook. Okay, wonderful. We're teasing people about the Gala concert coming up soon, which is a fundraiser, and we'll talk about that a little bit more too. Mm-hmm. But still now, first, the upcoming season for Inland Opera. What's ahead of us this year?
This is a really big year of transition. So there's a lot of just administrative and behind the scenes work we've got to do just to fully transfer everything over. We are obviously doing the inaugural gala at the Mission Gables Bowl House, and then we will be doing a concert that we haven't announced quite yet, but we have a set date and venue in February, and then we're looking to do a full production as soon as possible. So we kind of have to get through this initial concert and get some of our kind of behind the scenes work fully going and and get things kind of transitioned over. So this initial season may be a little bit lighter just because of all of the work we have to do to get everything in order to fully move forward in the way that we want to. But we will be announcing the rest of our season soon. Right now, we're just concentrating all our effort on our upcoming gala.
We're speaking with Krista Stevens, one of the co-founders of Redlands Opera Theater, now just about to be Inland Opera. And again, their inaugural gala concert kicking off the season. That's coming up November 11th at the Mission Gables Bowl House in Redlands. More with Krista just ahead. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR.
Hi, I'm Jessica Greenwell, traffic coordinator for KVCR-TV. Before we return to KVC Arts, a reminder of several new, locally produced programs airing on KVCR-TV. Tuesday nights at 8, From Scratch gives us Stacy and Brian Corcock with a new twist on household do-it-yourself shows. Tuesday evenings at 8:30, we have Hidden Hikes, hosted by Timothy Jones and Iris Hill, and they take kids and viewers on an exploration of regional hiking trails. Wednesday nights at 8, we have Musicology, hosted by Miss T, with regional bands, with interviews, and in-house performances. Not locally produced, but still an exciting addition to our lineup, we bring you Ken Burns' latest documentary series, The Vietnam War, Thursday nights at 8. I Remember Television is back on KVCR-TV, hosted by Ron Witte, Piers Britton, and myself, revisiting classic television, Sunday nights at 7. We also have Goldie Knows, hosted by Goldilocks. That's coming in 2018, providing home improvement to someone in need here in the Inland Empire. That's a look at new programming on KVCR-TV, and we'll have interviews with many of these hosts on upcoming episodes of KVC Arts. Go to kvcr.org for a complete schedule. For KVC Arts, I'm Jessica Greenwell.
Back now to Krista Stevens from Inland Opera, that's formerly Redlands Opera Theater, and their inaugural gala concert kicking off the season is coming up November 11th. That's at the Mission Gables Bowl House in Redlands. Now, let's talk about performances. So I also want to know there's not yet a set space, but rather a variety of venues fitting for each show that you have coming up.
Yeah, we have a venue for our next concert that will be in February. One of the problems that we've had in Redlands is that we've had a hard time finding a space that is really suitable for a full opera production with orchestra and everything. It's just finding a space like that in Redlands has been really difficult. And so one of the reasons we've had to look outside of Redlands is to find a theater that we can use where we can bring in aspects of modern technology while keeping the elements of traditional theater intact, so that when we do full productions, we can have an orchestra, a large stage, because some of the operas that we're looking into doing have large casts. And so we just simply need a space there. And there are venues like that throughout the Inland Empire, not necessarily in Redlands, but in other communities. So I think our goal is to eventually set up shop at a theater that will be kind of our established theater, at least to do our full productions. And then in terms of smaller pieces and concerts, those can travel easily, and we can easily perform those in spaces like the Mission Gables Bowl House and such.
Okay.
Now, this was either in a press release or an email. I read this, Mark's quote, Inland Opera's official launch into the Inland Empire arts community. This is, in essence, what we're talking about with the expanding from just in Redlands, in Redlands, I should say,
yes,
to the expansion. That's what that's really talking about.
Yes.
Okay, well, the upcoming inaugural gala concert, again, that's November 11th at the Mission Gables Bowl House in Redlands. The event will feature operatic and musical theater highlights. Mm-hmm. And again, here's a quote, with a trio of Southern California's finest classical vocalists. Is that yourself and two others?
Yes.
I know that one is the niece of John Williams, though.
That's actually our master of ceremonies. So Jackie Williams is an accomplished actress. She's performed professionally with, for instance, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And her father is a very well-respected instrumentalist. And she is indeed the niece of the legendary composer John Williams, who I've had the pleasure of working with in the past. We have a wonderful pianist, Robert Sage. He's the conductor of the Claremont Symphony, and he is an accomplished pianist, and we're very fortunate to have him on board. I will be the soprano for the program, and then we have two other wonderful vocalists. Orson Van Gay is a wonderful tenor. He's featured all over Southern California. He's performed numerous times in various capacities with Los Angeles Opera, amongst other organizations, and then Daniela Corella, who's a wonderful mezzo-soprano. And so there's going to be just a trio of us. Traditionally, Redlands Opera Theater in our gala, we had more vocalists, but we've decided as Inland Opera that when we do concerts and such, that we're going to streamline, and instead of having, you know, 6, 7, 8 singers, we would have less singers. We'll still have a full program, but just kind of streamline things a little bit.
So what will we get to enjoy on this night? What selections are we talking about?
So we're going to have many of the classic operatic standards. We're going to be doing arias, duets. So we'll have, you know, arias and ensemble pieces. And we will also be highlighting some musical theater. This is a big Bernstein year, of course, with it being the 100th anniversary of his birth. So we're featuring a little bit of Bernstein on the program. We'll be doing the Flower Duet from Lakmé.
Okay.
We'll be doing the Solaria from The Marriage of Figaro. We'll be doing O Mio Bobino Caro.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of the traditional operatic standards that people would expect to hear, plus some musical theater highlights, If I Loved You from Carousel, for instance. And so we'll be doing that. And then there will be a wine and cheese reception. So there will be a chance for people to nibble on some cheese and some crackers to have some wine. And we are allowing children to come to this. So there will be water and tea for children. And then we'll have a couple of door prizes. We'll be selling.
I noticed a drawing too, right?
Yeah. So we're not going to be doing a full-fledged silent auction this time. But what we're going to be doing is we're going to be selling some tickets and then giving away a couple of door prizes. And so people will have an opportunity to try to get those, and those will be nice. Yeah, and then we'll have a wonderful master of ceremonies, and it's going to be a really elegant evening. It's going to be very focused on music, and it's really an opportunity to showcase, you know, how Redlands Opera Theater is transforming, evolving into Inland Opera, you know, carrying on the traditions that we began with Redlands Opera Theater, but also going in a new direction and making Inland Opera really its own thing.
That's really cool. The gala coming up, again, that's coming up November 11th.
Yes.
This serves as a fundraiser for future events this season. This is actually your annual, not only kickoff to the season, but also your annual bigger fundraiser, too.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate so far. We've had some support from not only within the community of Redlands, but organizations outside of the community of Redlands. And we want people to come and check us out and see what we're about. They'll have a chance to meet our artistic team. Our wonderful conductor, Alini Sardo, will be there. And she will be meeting people. And she obviously won't be conducting because it's just going to be singers and piano for this. But she will absolutely be there. And we just want people to kind of get to know who we are, ask us questions, mingle with us. And we're excited to share our ideas and kind of see where this goes. It's very exciting. We've had a lot of momentum so far. People have been very interested. You know, we've had some solid support as Redlands Opera Theater, but we also have people that are new that are interested in us and checking us out and wanting to see, you know, what's going to happen as we expand into other communities as well.
We are speaking with Krista Stevens with Inland Opera, formerly Redlands Opera Theater. Their gala concert kicking off the season is coming up November 11th at the Mission Gables Bowl House in Redlands. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. I know I've asked you this before, but this is going to be nice for you now because we can step away from the more business and I want people to come to the event. And
sure.
Of course, that's what we're doing here and that's why we're doing it. But I'd love to hear just what's on your bucket list, your personal bucket list. What's a show that you've always wanted to do?
Well, believe it or not, I have yet to do A Marriage of Figaro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As a full thing, you've done selections.
I've done selections numerous times as the Countess, but I have yet to do a full production of The Marriage of Figaro.
It's
and
one of the biggies.
The Countess is a role that I absolutely need to sing. I would love to do Faust again. I sang Marguerite a couple seasons ago. I feel like Faust is sort of an underperformed opera, and the music is stunningly gorgeous. I really enjoyed that. I would love to do that again.
The devil made you do it.
I know. There's some musicals. I would love to sing The Baker's Wife and Into the Woods. I would love to sing Mother in Ragtime. A couple seasons ago with a company in LA, I was one of the Liebesleaders in A Little Night Music, and that was a thrill for me. Gosh, what other show? There are so many. I mean, I would love to sing Rosalinda in Die Fledermaus. I had an opportunity a couple seasons ago to sing the role, and I wasn't able to do it, so that's on my bucket list. I want to explore more of the French repertoire. I finally sang Micaela for the first time last season in Carmen, and that fit my voice very well. I would love to sing First Lady in The Magic Flute. Gosh, there's just so much out there.
Okay.
There's so much, you know, there's just so much that
I've got a big bucket list.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed, I would say the finest productions that Redlands Opera Theater has produced was actually what we were doing this time last year was Gianni Schicchi.
Yes.
And I sang Nella in that. And that was fun because I don't get to do a lot of the character roles so often. And it was a huge ensemble piece. And the music was awesome. And it was great too because we got to feature Golda Berkman.
Yes, that's waiting to mention
that.
Yeah,
and
yes, she's wonderful.
Yeah, and she had such a prolific concert career as a young singer. And then for her to be able to make her professional operatic debut with Redlands Opera Theater was really special. And she's singing in Italy now and doing wonderful things.
Oh.
And we had wonderful support from Earth Cafe, and that was a really, really special event for us and a wonderful production. As I move forward into Inland Opera and I reflect on some of the things that I think really made Redlands Opera Theater special, apart from what we were able to do to bring opera education to children, the things that I remember most fondly are the production of Schicchi. Our initial production of The Medium, which was directed by Pacific Opera Project's Josh Shaw. That was just an amazing production.
That was the first season?
That was the first season.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was an absolutely phenomenal production. I was so thrilled to be a part of it and that we had Josh bring his immense creative talents out to Redlands and direct that for us. And then Christina Jensen, who was for many years our resident stage director, she wrote an original Gilbert and Sullivan review that she dedicated to the memory of Curtis Allen. And we were able to premiere that at the Riverside Dickens Festival a couple seasons ago. We actually got to perform it in the historic courthouse, which was really cool. It was about a 45-minute production for four singers with original dialogue. And I love Gilbert and Sullivan, and I absolutely loved doing that. And the venue was gorgeous. That was a lot of fun. And then we were able to do it again last season in Redlands, but it was actually premiered at the Riverside Dickens Festival.
Interestingly, this interview is going to be airing on the same night as I have with a woman speaking about the Dickens Festival.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's just a nice coincidence.
Yeah. So, there are some things that, and of course, there are other things that we've done that were wonderful and I think were very successful. But I think that the three things that I mentioned outside of the education outreach, they're productions that stick out in my mind is particularly special. I think also because each of those events were collaborations where we brought in outside forces.
There you go, of course.
You know, either Josh or Golda Berkman and Earth Cafe, or not necessarily collaborating with the Riverside Dickens Festival, but being able to bring something to
that
festival.
I think that
that's what made those really unique events, and I will always have fond memories of them.
Well, let's take that last question and turn it around just slightly. And so we asked about your bucket list kind of show. Now, how about a bucket list kind of show? Let's not name 6 or 8 or 20 again, but for Inland Opera.
I would probably say something along the lines of The Marriage of Figaro, The Magic Flute. Mozart is immensely popular and never gets old. Perhaps some of the Puccini repertoire, La Boheme, for instance. That's kind of the trick, is you want to hit the traditional operas. People want to hear Puccini, they want to hear Mozart, but at the same time, you know, in the 21st century, there's so much activity in, really in Los Angeles, featuring works by new composers and female composers. And, you know, one thing that I love about Inland Opera is that our entire leadership team is women.
Wonderful.
You know, our resident conductor and music director is a woman from Brazil. I'm a woman, you know, our communication strategist and our art director, both of these people are women. You know, we have a team working together to do something that for decades and decades was dominated by males. And I feel like it's exciting that moving into the 21st century, women are being able to take such active leadership roles as stage directors and artistic directors and conductors and composers whose works are being heard, you know, because for centuries, women who composed, they had to stay in the dark about it. And it's just now that we're finding out that there were so many women historically that contributed so much artistically,
but
they weren't encouraged to write, they weren't encouraged to compose. And now you have companies that are chomping at the bits to premiere works by women.
Indeed.
And so I think that what I would hope is that, you know, we would get to a point where we have a solid enough audience base that we can give them the traditional pieces that they want to hear, but also bring new works and new music to the area as well.
Again, 5 years old now, we are speaking of the Redlands Opera Theater, now called Inland Opera, and the inaugural gala concert is Saturday, November 11th, 6 to 8:30. Doors open, what, 30 minutes ahead of time?
Yeah, 30 minutes ahead of time, and we are selling tickets quickly, so we encourage people to go to the Facebook page and to get the tickets through our brown paper tickets link, but of course, tickets will be available at the door as well.
And so again, that's iogalaconcert.brownpapertickets.com for that. But you can also just really get a link to pretty much everything if you go to Facebook and then Inland Opera.
Yeah, all they have to do is click on the event and then the link is right there. And it
has
all the information that they would need about the event itself.
Well, again, Krista Stevens with Inland Opera. I'm going to want to call it Redlands Opera Theater for a little while, but...
Well, technically, until everything officially switches over, we're still Redlands Opera Theater, so it's okay.
They
can be a little interchangeable for the moment.
My misspeaking will come will be true then. Okay. Well, Krista Stevens with Inland Opera,
yes.
Formerly Redlands Opera Theater, and this is a cool transition. This is an exciting time, and I appreciate you making the time to come in and let us know about this gala concert coming up.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
You just heard from Krista Stevens with Inland Opera. Again, their gala concert kicks off the season November 11th at the Mission Gables Bowl House in Redlands. More information, including links to tickets and other information, as well as other sites, just go to Facebook, Inland Opera. And that's just about going to wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Krista Stevens and again to Linda Dilday with the Riverside Dickens Festival. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, and Jessica Greenwell. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts. Behind us now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KVC Arts programs via podcast at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.